discussion of possible action on fiscal year 2010 comprehensive annual financial report. Captain.
Let me start for a second. This is sort of a two-person presentation. I'll start with a few comments, then I'll introduce Michael O'Brien, who is our auditor, Patrick Straderman, who will talk about the audit specifically. But again, each year, January is when we bring our financial audit results and our annual report. We refer to it as a comprehensive annual financial report, a CAFR, if you will, and that's a document that we produce that you all received in your materials that complies with GFOA, the Government Finance Officers Association, requirements for disclosure. We have received the certification for that for 23 straight years now and stuff, so we've continued to comply with that and will, of course, continue to do so in the future. Overall purpose, obviously, that I just sort of mentioned, was obviously the disclosure of financial information to you all, our board, and to all our stakeholders, customers, and the public. We'll talk a little bit about just some of the highlights of it, and then again, as I said, I'll introduce Mike here to talk about the report of the independent auditor. Next slide. Again, in accordance with GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles that I know you all are familiar and heard about before, we present this information. I'll talk in a minute about how some of the numbers have changed from the budgetary presentations that I give each quarter from the GAAP. Based or accounting-based principles. Obviously, we follow Government Accounting Standards Board, GASB, pronouncements and regulations and rules in that regard. And then we also are compliant on what's called a single audit. We do receive federal and state grant monies for various, primarily environmental grants that we receive. Not a lot, but we have programs. And because of that, of receipt of that money, you have to comply with certain federal and state compliance audits that, again, Mike's group audits, but and that's all called, that's actually called a single audit, mainly because all of those, the government years ago put all those under one single audit thing for simplicity for entities, so they didn't have to do a bunch of individual audits for each program, so that's why it's referred to as single audit. Next slide. The CAFR, as I mentioned, is a historical document. Certainly looks backwards to the last year, in this case fiscal 10. It's on a GAAP basis and accrual basis from an accounting standpoint, recognizing revenues when they're earned and expenses when they're incurred, as opposed to what we do, and I just did a minute ago, on a cash basis, where the budget report that we give is primarily on a cash basis. Although there is some accrual, we do some accrual on our budgetary report too, but not as much as we do at year end with the CAFR. So we do accrue some expenses and revenues, but primarily it's a cash basis. So that's a major difference. Next slide. Within the report, there's basically three sections. There's an introductory section, as you may have seen, the report that's got a transmittal letter from Bill to all the readers that gives a summary of the year and some of the required information we need to have. There's information about you all, pictures and stuff about board members and some of the management team. There's other things, the organizational chart, stuff like that, introductory, just so that the reader can understand about the authority. Then, of course, the major part of it is the financial section, which includes the MD&A, the management discussion and analysis, which is really just a summary of the financial statements and the notes to the financial statements. And then there's the financial statements themselves and the notes, as I mentioned. And then there's some required supplemental information there that gives more information to the reader. And then the last section is a statistical section where there's even more information that sometimes is of a financial nature, but sometimes is an operational nature. We have things about historic levels of elevations in our reservoirs and information about how much water our reservoirs hold and things like that that would be of interest, again, to the reader. So that's really the information that's included there. Next. This is, each year I try to reconcile, for y'all's purposes and anybody else's that's at the meeting here, of how we reconcile the budget. What I've reported is the budget to the CAFR on the accrual basis, as I talked about. And so the first column is, of course, the approved budget that you all approved for fiscal 10 way back in the summer of 2009, in that fact. And then the middle column is the actuals that I provided to you all in October, which were the fourth quarter actuals 2010, and you can see that we budgeted for a surplus of $1.4 million this last year. We actually had on a budgeted basis $4.7 million, and then on a CAFR basis, we had a $5.9 million surplus. And you can see the middle column, the lower part, is where I sort of show, in summary, there's a whole lot of detail behind those numbers. There's a lot of different transactions there, but I attempted to summarize them in sort of five categories. The major things that were different from the CAFR to the budget. So I sort of go from the budget, $4.7 million, you can see down to the $5.9 million, and the major categories of things that are different from a GAAP-based accrual. Depreciation versus debt service. From a GAAP basis, you recognize depreciation. From a budget basis, we recognize debt service principal payments on debt service. So there's actually more depreciation than debt service. So there's about, in this case, there was more, a little more than $3 million more depreciation than debt service. So that's a reduction of the budgeted number. Recognition of deferred revenue. We do, under GAAP, we have to defer some of our revenues that we have, especially from our cost reimbursable customers, that we collect money up front, but if they don't really spend their, have the expenses, we basically have to give that money back to them, so we have to defer that, so that's a reduction in total. The recognition of revenue royalties, that's actually the item I just spoke about in the first quarter. We did not have that in last year's budget, as you saw it show up in this first quarter of this year's year. And so, but for GAAP purposes, since it did relate to last year's activity, we have to recognize it in fiscal 10. For GAAP purposes, we're recognizing it in fiscal 10. For budget purposes, it's in fiscal 11. So anyway, that's a pickup of $1.8 million, as I mentioned. Capital contributions, there are some monies we received that help reimburse us for capital projects, either from customers or state agencies or federal agencies, that we actually net out for budget purposes in our capital projects area, but we have to add it as revenue for capital or GAAP purposes, and that's a pickup. And then capitalized expenditures, we do have some expenditures that we carry in our budget that are capital in nature that we have to capitalize for GAAP purposes, so they actually come out of the budget, if you will. So that's actually a pickup and a reduction in expenses, if you will. So that's why that's happening. So that brings you to the five. If you add all those up, it brings you to the $5.9 million. I know that can be sort of confusing, and I'll be happy to talk to you. But there's a lot more detail. There's a lot of transactions within each of those five numbers, but that's the summary of them. Any questions? Okay, next slide. This is just a slide that just to show comparatives of several sort of key items that we have in our CAFR, just to give you an idea of sort of where we have come over the last 3 years and what the numbers are. The operating revenue side, one thing I'll point out is in 2009, you can see there was actually sort of a spike, went from obviously 54 to 60 and then went down to 58. The 2009 was a bit of an anomaly, because we sold over $3 million worth of interruptible water in that summer due to the drought. And so it raised our operating revenues that particular year that we don't expect to happen in every single year. So arguably that the trend, if you take that out, would be more like 54 to 57 to 58. So it's a more normal type trend, except for that item. Operating expenses you can see the last 2 years are right about the same. The prior year, there was a couple of things that happened in 2009 that sort of caused our expenses to jump from 2008. One of them was depreciation. We had some additional depreciation that we recognized in 2009 that caused that to go up and sort of created a jump that we continue to now have each year, but that's really a non-cash item that drove a lot of that. We had to make a additional contribution in 2009 to our retirement plan because of the market downturn and the loss in some of our investments on that. It was a little higher than normal also that caused 2009 to be a little bit higher. Anyway, you can see the operating incomes there is just, that's the calculation of the difference between the two. The interest expense, in 2008, the reason the interest expense was less is we were building the expansion of the East Williamson County project, and we, under GAAP rules, you have to capitalize interest during a project period. So we had to capitalize some of our interest in 2008, so it actually took it out of the interest expense in that year. Now it is interest expense in the future years because the project is completed and been built. investment income. I think we all know all too well what's happening there. Our investment income from $2 million to $1.3 million to $891 just because interest rates have been so low as we try to reinvest it. It causes us to, and you'll see that in my report in just a second, that our investment income has unfortunately gone down over the last few years due to low interest rates. Under non-operating items, the one item over 2008 that's $4 million is inclusive of a settlement of our SWATS issue there. And so that's a one-time thing that's included in there and stuff and causes that to be much higher. And then you can see the working capital is really that's our reserves, if you will, our unrestricted reserves and things like that you can see and how they've done. And then total net assets, if you will, that's from a GAAP purpose, that's sort of our equity in our organization. That's the value of the organization. Obviously, that's the assets less the liabilities. So is what it is. So 170 up to 178 to $184 million. So that's just a summary of some of the highlights. Any questions on that? Next slide. This is where I introduce Mike, and Mike's got his presentation to talk a little bit about the audit for a few minutes.
Thank you, John. Scope of the audit, I met with you guys back before we did the start of the audit. Really, the scope of the audit is twofold. We audit the financial statements, which John just described, and we also audit the federal awards. With respect to the financial statements themselves, they are prepared by John and his staff, so we're doing strictly auditing them. We're not doing any preparation. When we do the audit, we examine evidence supporting the amounts and the disclosures. We also assess internal controls that underlie the financial preparation. That work is not at the level of providing an opinion on the internal controls, but our engagement is to give an opinion on the financial statements themselves. We also review all the disclosures and the requirements. John mentioned things like governmental accounting standards, a whole set of rules. We review those, make sure all the disclosures and the required formats are there. The opinion, boil that down, we're issuing an unqualified or clean opinion, which is what you'd like to hear from your auditors, that the financial statements are fairly presented in conformity with all those rules and regulations. With respect to the internal controls, since I'm not bringing you a list of issues or what we would call material weaknesses, just let you know the control environment's strong. There's no significant issues. We always discuss lots of matters of management as we go along, but there's no matters that the board needs to be concerned about or take any action on. Next slide. Now, if you have questions, if you don't understand any of this jargon, let me know. The federal and state awards is really a different level of audit because you drop down from the financial statements as a whole down to specific federal or state awards. And there, John mentioned the single audit act. There's a federal circular out that says how auditors are supposed to do the audit. The state of Texas has actually basically adopted that same thing for the state programs. So this year on the federal, which the large program we had to audit was the EPA grant, it had expenditures of $293,000. Total federal expenditures were $527,000 for the year. So we audit that program in accordance with the rules. There's no findings or question costs that are required to be reported. On the state programs, the Clean River program was a major program. $460,000 in expenditures, total state expenditures of $551,000. On that part of the audit, there's no findings or question costs to report. Next slide, please. Okay. The one major sort of transaction or change this year in the financial statements was the Governmental Accounting Standards Board Statement number 51. There's a lengthy disclosure in footnote 13 in the CAFR. And what this was a new standard that had to be implemented this year. And unlike many standards that we've had in the past, this one required retroactive restatement. In other words, you had to go back and restate your prior year financial statements dealing with accounting and financial reporting for intangible assets. In a river, in your world, that really deals with water storage rights that have been, you know, acquired, developed, et cetera, for many years. And there's lots of other intangible assets that we deal with in other governments, but for you guys, it's just with the storage rights. And basically, a lot of those rights have been amortized over time in the past, and the new standard says, look, if those intangible assets really don't lose value, there's no point in amortizing or depreciating them down over time. And so Matt Wheelis and his group did a lot of work on this, had some correspondence with the Corps of Engineers, got comfortable with those sorts of assets that don't require to be amortized. So the $28,449,000 increase to net assets was basically only just reversing amortization that had been reported in previous years. Looking forward for you guys, 2011, there are some new standards, GASB standards, that are going to be required to be implemented. One dealing with some refinement on pensions, one dealing with some disclosures on financial instruments and investments. Neither of those are going to have any significant impact on the river authorities. But I just let you know, the world in accounting and governmental accounting is changing. There's new standards coming out constantly, and we're seeing a convergence between governmental and private sector accounting that's going to be continuing for several years out. But next year should be a no change sort of year. The significant estimates that we consider significant when we do the audit, just to let you know some of the things we look at: the useful lives of capital assets, which impacts depreciation expense. That's a pretty large amount. We do a lot of work on the self-insurance and contingency accruals, since those are estimates as well. With respect to the financial statements themselves, the significant disclosures there is, in case you wanted to have more information about the financial statements, there's a lengthy footnote on investments, long-term debt. Of course, revenue recognition, John pointed out one of those reconciling items was the difference in recognizing revenue on the financials versus on a cash basis. That's always important in financial statements. And then the footnote 13 on the restatement. The audit went very well. We received full and complete cooperation from management. We didn't have any disputes or disagreement over any accounting matters. There weren't any audit adjustments, and there's not any past audit adjustments which we carried forward prior years. So we've got a clean slate, and management didn't consult with any other accounting firms over any technical matters that we were discussing. Those are all things you want to hear, Jarvis, to tell you. The comprehensive annual financial report, which John gave you an outline of, that you've received through work for 23 years, what we audit in there is the financial statements, and what we prepare is our auditor's report. That's what we provide to the River Authority to put in the document. We do review and read everything else in there to make sure that it's consistent with the financial statements. What we know from all the work we did, there are some required formatting and things. We look at all that, make sure that we don't see any concerns with anything. So that's what we do with the document. Things like the statistical data, management discussion and analysis, those aren't covered by our auditor's report, but those are the things that we do check to make sure the numbers are all the same. There's not any issues we see. That goes into the Government Finance Officers Association. There's a whole group of volunteers out there. They pass out those statements to each other. They grade them and check them, and then sometime in late 2011, you'll get a letter that says you received the award again. So the engagement team was the same as I reported initially in planning. No changes there, and we appreciate the opportunity to continue to be of service, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this time, I've been informed that we've had some new visitors come in. If there is anyone that would like to make a public comment, we can reopen that at this time. Anyone wish to make any public comment? Okay. At this point, we will move on to action item number 3, report possible discussion on investment officers report for the first quarter of fiscal year 2011. John Hobbs.
We have a resolution. There's a last part of this particular agenda item to next up a resolution.
Yes.
This is a resolution. We do this each year where we all officially accept a report and then approve its filing with TSEC, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, which is required under our statute. We also, by the way, file this report with a number of other entities, including the State Auditor's Office and other places too, but this is required under our statute, so we've always made that resolution and stuff. So that's what the purpose of this is. And we send it out, by the way, we also send it out to a number of customers that requested it. It's made available on our website when we put it in its final form after you're all approved. Any questions? Otherwise, I'll read the resolution.
Please do.
Be it resolved that the Board of Directors hereby accepts the Brazos River Authority's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year 2010 and approves its filing with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. The Chief Financial Officer is hereby designated to file the report and the annual filing of the affidavit with the Executive Director of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.
Heard reading the resolution, is there a motion to adopt?
Motion to adopt.
Moved by Kilgore, second by Barr. Please call the board.
Okay. Presiding Officer DeCluitt?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Barr?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Belt?
Yes.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Brashears?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Mackey?
Yes.
Director Masterson?
Yes.
Director McKnight?
Yes.
Director Scott?
Yes.
Director Sloan?
Yes.
Director Steinmetz?
Yes.
Director Tallis?
Yes.
Director Tesh?
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. Now.